Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This really underlines how difficult the task is ahead for the NBA. Every one answer creates three new questions.
It will truly be fascinating to see what this ultimately is and what it looks like.
Here he goes. Look at
Welcome to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols, and oh man, after nearly 10 weeks, it is so good to be able to say it's official. The NBA is coming back, and it's going to be an adventure. We are going to break down all the details for you over this next hour. We're also going to continue the very important conversation we've been having all week about the fight for justice, for racial equality going on in America right now, and the NBA being very front and center in the middle of all of that. I'm thrilled to discuss that coming up later in the show with one of the greatest players of all time, one of the sport's greatest activists of all time, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Stick around for that. But first, we begin with breaking news on the resumption of the NBA season. The National Basketball Association Board of Governors has voted to approve a 22-team single-site format to restart this season amid the COVID-19 pandemic. And I want to run you guys through the plan here. The NBA, of course, has 30 teams, but the bottom eight in the standings, they're just going to stay home because the fewer teams you invite, the fewer people you have to keep safe from coronavirus. Now, the top 22, they're all going to stay together at ESPN's Wide World of Sports complex at Walt Disney World in Orlando. They won't get to play all the regular season games that were left on their original schedules, but they will play eight of them. And then we will check the standings. If either in the East or the West, it's close between the number 8 and number 9 teams, and in this case close means within 4 games, then those two teams will stage a play-in game. But the NBA does want to give some advantage to the higher seed, right? So here's how they're going to do it. If the team in the 8th spot wins that play-in game, that's it. Bye-bye number 9 team, go home. If the number 9 seed wins, though, the higher seed gets a second shot at things. The two teams come back the next night to play each other all over again. And only then is it winner-take-all, with the winner getting the conference's final playoff spot. Then we start the real playoffs, all like normal, divided into East and West, 7-game series each round, and hopefully a champion at the end. We're all crossing our fingers for that champion, Woj. I welcome in ESPN senior NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski, who broke this story earlier this week. And Woj, I just ran through all the things that have been decided. What do you think is the next biggest point of contention they still have to determine?
Well, there's the formality, Rachel, of the Players Association's team reps voting on Friday. They've set up a call tomorrow, and the team reps are expected to approve this proposal. As you know, the Players Association and Adam Silver and the league, they've been working hand in hand for months on the details of this plan, but they'll formally vote tomorrow. And then there's still the process of the kind of testing that they're going to be, that they're going to put in place, solidifying that with Florida health officials and Walt Disney World. And you know, I think many of those are all steps that the league's going to get to with the Players Association and get to ultimately tipping off July 31 in Orlando. I'm told July 9th, 11th, right in that window is where teams will start arriving in Orlando.
Yeah, and the testing, as you mentioned, is going to be such a huge component of this. The entire reason we are having this discussion and doing all of this in the first place is we are still facing a global pandemic, and trying to figure out how they are going to manage that on this campus is going to be a conversation we're going to have again and again over the next couple weeks. I think we're also going to be talking, Woj, about how the league is going to piece together the schedule, because strength of schedule down the stretch is going to be such a factor in whether anyone makes one of those playoff play-in games and what the playoff seeding is. How are they going to do it?
Well, Rachel, essentially they're going to take the games that teams had remaining among the – they're going to play eight games, and the next eight games that teams had when the season was shut down, however many of those they're able to play in Orlando among the 22 teams there. And then if there are obviously many teams will have had games scheduled with some of the eight that aren't there, and they're going to have to put the shell of a schedule together that reflects what they had left. And as you said, the strength of schedule. Memphis had a much tougher road to finish their season than New Orleans does, than Portland did. And that is expected to be reflected in the schedule of those regular season games. And then ultimately, there'll be a play-in for the eighth seed with a ninth seed if that ninth seed is within four games in the standings of the eighth seed at the end of the regular season.
And it seems like strength of schedule shouldn't be that big a deal, but you and I know when we have front office people conversations, I spoke to someone who had an easier strength of schedule down the stretch, and he said, we played all the hard games. That's why we are where we are in the standings. The other team should have to play the hard games, too. We will see how that works out. Now, you also reported on the key dates heading into next season. The draft lottery is set for August 25th now. The draft is going to be October 15th. But the biggest news in your reporting for me, Woj, is that next season is going to start on December 1st and not Christmas Day like so many of us thought. What is the reasoning there?
I think one factor, Rachel, it potentially gives the NBA and its players, not just on Team USA, but NBA players who play for teams and countries all over the world, a chance to be part of the 2021 Olympic Games. I do believe that that was part of the thinking there to try to sync the schedule with the rescheduling of that, these 2020 games to 2021.
That's so interesting. We will have to see, of course, if there is an Olympics. There are so many questions. I did notice with the draft lottery being August 25th, that seems to answer one of the questions about how they are going to rank teams, who's going to be in the draft lottery, if they are going to wait until teams make the playoffs. August 25th seems like they are waiting for that. They are going to wait to see what happens in those play-in games. But, of course, we are waiting for the final word. And we know, Woj, when it happens, you will bring it to us first. Thanks so much for joining the show.
Thanks,
we will be hearing from you a lot in the coming weeks. And coming up on this show, there are a bunch of ideas out there, from extra fouls to extra challenges to first dibs on hotel accommodations. But will any of those efforts preserve home court advantage for the teams that had earned it? That is up next. First, though, it's time for our distant replays from this date in NBA history. We got the heavy hitters today: Jordan, Kobe, Shaq.
Four game in the playoffs of the Lions of Paul Malone. Not enough. Jordan, yes! Michael Jordan, going glass with the reverse. 68-47 Chicago.
Starting on the right side, hanging in the air, clearing the defense.
Portland have three timeouts left. The Lakers have two. Bryant.
The Jump is brought to you by Disney Plus. All of your favorites, all in one place. Sign up today.
Yeah! sleep.
Oh, they're coming back. Welcome back to The Jump. And now welcome in to ESPN senior writer Zach Lowe and NBA champion Richard Jefferson. Zach, I want to go to you. It's amazing to finally have some answers about how the NBA is going to come back, but I keep saying it. It underscores how difficult a job the league still has because each one answer we get prompts new questions. What is your biggest concern about how this 22-team format is laid out here?
I mean, I think there's one big concern that is the big concern. It's just how are we going to keep all these people healthy? I think 22 teams to me is too many. There are a lot of games, eight regular season games per team amounts to a lot of games. That's a lot of contact, a lot of opportunities for transmission. So to me, the biggest question and the only one we should really be caring about is how are players, staff, coaches, can we keep everybody or as many people as possible healthy?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. That's the number one issue. And from what I'm hearing is there's testing every single day. Everyone's going to get on site. There's going to be a quarantine period there. There's going to be testing. So hopefully that's the idea of moving it to Disney. That's the number one question, like Zach said, is that you want to know about health. Well, this is the one scenario that you can kind of isolate everyone, have space, and hopefully there aren't any issues with someone popping up sick because that could throw up a real big wrench into the entire plan.
Zach, you thought it should have been just 20? Do you just hate the people of Phoenix and Washington? What gets here?
No, that's not fair. I mean, I just think there's a big gap between 20 and the rest of the teams. I mean, Washington and Phoenix had close to a 0% chance to make the playoffs. I don't really understand the point of bringing 70 additional people into a pandemic when they have no chance or very little chance to make the playoffs. Washington's been given kind of a charity chance because they're the only non-playoff team in the East, but I just think there was a big gap and safety should be first. That's two teams that I don't think need to be there.
Again, Zach, this is a very, very rare day that we agree on that. When you have less people, there's less probability of something going wrong. So ultimately, I just feel, like Zach said, you want to keep this as limited as possible. You want to give the teams that had opportunities to make it to the postseason a chance. But adding those final two teams, that really doesn't do anything for either side.
All right, well, guys, the question of home court keeps coming up too, right? Our Dave McMenamin has reported that inside the front offices of the teams that are at the top of the playoff bracket, they're already brainstorming on things that they can pitch to the league office to gain back some of the advantage that they're losing in this Orlando scenario. And you can see up here some of their ideas on the screen. They're giving the higher-seeded teams extra possessions, being able to designate a player who can commit an extra foul, getting an extra coach's challenge to succession. I really want to meet the person who came up with this next one. The higher-seeded teams being able to transport their actual hardwood home court from their arenas to Orlando. And last but certainly not least, the higher seeds get first pick on which hotel they will stay at the Disney World campus. Now, Richard, I have already called dibs on the Haunted Mansion, so nobody can do that. But okay, is there any actual reasonable way to preserve a team's home court advantage? Because I do get these teams work for all year, and they're looking for something here.
Well, first of all, I think the extra foul, that's a little much, right? Because you could, especially for defensive studs like Anthony Davis or Giannis, to give them one extra foul is pretty much saying that these guys most likely will never be in foul trouble. And that's too important to the style of the game and the way the game is played and coaching in general. So I think, you know, the being able to be 10 minutes from the arena versus being 30 minutes, there are advantages there. There are advantages to having that. Having your home court shipped in, which allows you that feel that you're in your home building. Right? There's a visual, there's an optic to it. So there are some advantages. To me, I think the home court, and I think allowing people to pick where they stay. Now, again, this is not normal situation. There isn't any great answer, but there are some answers that I'm not too sure if they're the right ones, and that's that extra foul.
How about we just let them play 6-on-5? How about that? How about the lower seeded team gets to use those little rims at the carnivals where the ball never goes in the hoop? How far are we going to bastardize basketball here? Look, I get it. These teams worked very hard for home court advantage. But this is a pandemic This is a pandemic. We're just trying to keep everyone healthy. Can we just set aside for 1 second everyone's base self-interest and just say, you know what? Let's play regular basketball and see who wins the game. And by the way, who's voting for this? Can you imagine if the best teams in the league go before the Board of Governors? Like, how about we give the best players on our team an extra foul? The other teams are going to say, yeah, sounds great. Sign me up for that. No.
I do feel, Zach, maybe they could get the hotel thing pushed through. That's the only one I see on that list. And, Richard, I know players feel like that court matters. I do. I get it in a way that sometimes fans don't realize the bounce of it, the look of it. But the idea that arena workers would have to be putting those courts up and down every day, sometimes between games, again, like Zach says, in the middle of a pandemic when you're trying to keep everyone safe, I don't see it happening. All right, Zach, thank you so much for joining us today.
I'm referencing Richard NBA Finals. Just the finals. Just the finals.
Richard is going to stick around. You can give us more of your ideas. Think about them during the break, Richard. Stephen A. Smith is going to join The Jump with us next. We're going to discuss which team is best equipped to take advantage of this never-before-seen postseason format. And will it be easier or harder to win the title this season than in years past? Stick around.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name? Check. Birthday? Social security? Is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
GEICO. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
They know that they likely have to go through each other to get to an NBA Finals.
It's not a rivalry. Whoever wins is not going to win an LA championship or anything.
James goes inside. Antetokounmpo spins, gets inside, and finishes. As Leonard goes inside and throws it down. James Davis gets inside. Beautiful setup. Beverly all over him. James, step back, knocked out of his hands, deflected out of bounds. Two MVP candidates guarding each other. James inside, banks that one in.
Down court, Anthony Davis, sledgehammer at the other end.
Welcome back. Richard is still with us, and we are thrilled to be joined by the one and only Stephen A. Smith. Stephen, thank you. I needed help with Richard. Thank you for coming in here.
Well, what's up, y'all? It's good to see y'all. I hope y'all are good and safe. How's everything?
We are good because basketball is back. And Stephen A., when games restart on July 31st, we will have had 142 days between when the season was suspended and when it resumes. I mean, that's crazy, right? That's longer than guys are usually off for the entire offseason in the summer. Then you throw in the fact that they're going to be playing out of their home arenas. They're going to be locked onto this campus where the losing teams are going to get thrown off survivor style. So it's going to get weird after each round. There's no fans in the stands. Mm-hmm. Then again, this scenario is going to have no travel, no distractions. Stephen A., do you think winning a title under these conditions is going to be harder than in a normal year or easier?
Well, to me, I think that it's going to be harder simply because of the rust and obviously the lack of continuity that you would have been continuing to build up as the season progressed and you got into the postseason. But nevertheless, I love it nevertheless because I think we're going to find out what champions are really made of. I think that people, because of this coronavirus pandemic, have not been talking about something that I brought up on several occasions, y'all, and that is this. Champions are not just about your athletic prowess, your ability to play the game. It's also about your discipline. It's about your focus. It's about your conditioning, how you take care of yourself, and are you ready to go? And I think that all of those things come into the equation when you're trying to measure what champions are made of. It's not just your athletic ability. It's all of those ancillary things that contribute to your excellence on the court of play when it's called upon for you to do so. And that's why teams like the Lakers, led by LeBron James, teams like the Clippers, led by Doc Rivers and others, this is why you look at them and give them a slight edge, because you know, A, they know what it takes, and two, they put forth the discipline necessary and have already exhibited for us what's required in order to achieve the ultimate goals. You believe in them and you give them the benefit of the doubt and you give them an edge, because they understood all along the season was suspended. It was not canceled. Let's see who else gets that.
Well, and Stephen is completely, you're completely right with this, mainly because when you look at all of these guys, I know for a fact that there were our text chains with different teams and they were saying, stay in shape. This is going to be our opportunity. The whichever team, especially in the top five or six teams that are in the best possible shape. And that means that you were working out during this 2-3-4 month break before you can get access to arena. It doesn't matter if you were doing push-ups and lifting weights in your garage and you were making sure that your body fat, you were getting on treadmills, you were doing anything that you could to keep your body ready, because this is a mental warfare. This is going to be a very unique situation, but I still give the same edge to the same three or four teams. I think that you're going to have the Lakers. I think you're going to have the Clippers, and I think you're going to have the Bucks. And I'm not sure who that fourth team is. Is it going to be the skinny Harden? Are we going to have the Denver Nuggets creep in there? Is there going to be another team from the Eastern Conference that can possibly make a run? But ultimately, I think you're going to have the main characters that have been all there all year long. And without injuries to any top players, I still give the edge to the Lakers, Clippers, and Bucks to meet in the finals, one of that variation of three.
I think what you guys are saying, though, is so interesting. I want to stick that with them for a minute. We're going to move on, Richard, to the favorite teams. But the idea that these guys had this basic offseason where they had to decide how they were going to go, I have heard a lot of Western Conference players say, oh, I wonder how Luka Doncic is going to come back. They know that he came into his rookie season having had maybe a lighter training summer over in Europe, and he's been over in Europe for a lot of this break, and I think they're counting on the fact that he won't be in game shape. But guess what? He could be in great shape. That's going to be interesting to see how these guys come back. We just don't know yet. And then you have guys who were tired, who were beat up. P.J. Tucker was taking such a beating, guys, in the middle of this season. And the idea that he's had these 3 months to rest. We know with Portland, the fact that they've had all this extra time to rest and recover from injuries. Same thing with Philadelphia. I am very curious to see how that affects the bracket. And that leads us to the top teams in the NBA this season, as Richard mentioned. The Bucks, they're 3 games ahead of the Lakers for the league's best record. They're followed by the defending champs, the Clippers. And now we know when these teams get together in Orlando, they will have 8 regular season games scheduled to determine final seeding. So you're saying that those 3 teams, they're in for you. But I'm going to make you pick, Richard. Who is the team lurking below who you think will be that 4th team in the conference finals?
Oh, that 4th team in the conference final. It depends on the health of Philly. I think if Ben Simmons comes back and he's healthy and you have Joel Embiid, hopefully, you know, they can get things right. If it's not them, if they're not the team, then I'm going to go with Boston. I love Boston's depth. I love the way they've been playing. I like their versatility. They have a ton of perimeter guys that they can throw, you know, around and play in a variety of ways. So I would give it to Boston.
Well, Milwaukee's got to play somebody, so I would give it to Boston. Here's my fear. I'm starving, literally craving, and I have been all year long. I want LeBron and the Lakers against Kawhi and the Clippers in the conference finals. Can Houston interrupt that? We've got to pay attention to that kind of stuff as well. I can't rule out Houston and the kind of damage that they could cause. Because when we sit back right now and we're fantasizing about the return of basketball and what a significant break there was in play because the NBA season was suspended, it's not just about keeping in shape, because we know how important that is, keeping your body in shape, making sure that you're physically fit and all of that other stuff. But then the other element is not just can you play, But how much of a desire do you have to play? That love for the game. You know the kind of guys that you know finding a park somewhere, finding a basketball court somewhere, somehow, where they haven't let their game diminish but so much. I look at a James Harden who rarely misses games. I look at a Russell Westbrook who rarely misses games. And I say, those two brothers probably during this pandemic were probably in their yard or someplace nearby just working on their body and their games. I can see it, and I could see them knocking off at least one of them. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if it's a possibility, Houston is that threat. We cannot ignore that.
Stephen A., you've seen James Harden's Instagram. The man is running up and down mountains. He's all skinny. Austin Rivers says that James has lost 20 pounds. We will see what happens there. I do want to catch you before we let you go, Stephen A., that as we were going to the last break, Richard Jefferson was trying to pitch that teams should be allowed to bring in their home courts for the NBA Finals. What do you think of that?
You know what? Get one of them rubber sticker emblems or whatever, plaster it on midcourt and call it a day. This stuff drives me crazy. It's a pandemic going on, ladies and gentlemen. That's why play was suspended. We all understand that. We all understand that this is an abnormal season. It's not normal. Stop with all of this nonsense. The only perk that I am in support of is that the top-seeded teams should get the best hotel accommodations. That's about it. Everything else, just get the hell on the court and play and stop acting like all of the looking for an edge and all of this stuff. You played 80% of the season. You got paid for it, all right? The playoffs are coming. Be ready to ball. That's it. Get one of them rubber stickers and plant it at midcourt and call it a day. Just stop it.
I know for a fact that you're riled up, and I get it. It's so good to hear your voice and to have you back. But ultimately, when you fight for home court advantage and you have guys that wheel themselves out there, it is very, very difficult to just relinquish home court and say everything is on a fair playing field. I'm not mad I'm not mad that they're trying to come up with ways. I'm just saying that we should think of something to give them. I don't know what it is, but they should have something.
What do you
want? You have the best record in your conference. Nothing?
Give them like a little gift bag.
Nothing? An actor coach? Give them an actor coaches challenge. How about an actor coaches challenge?
I got the perfect thing to give them. You know what you give those players?
Here we go.
Give them a Snickers. You know that commercial where they get upset and you bite a pill or bite some Snickers and calm down? That's what you give them. Let's go. Stop that.
You know what I'm giving? I'm giving the winner the NBA trophy. That's what you get. There you go. Thank you so much, Stephen A.
Thank you.
Please come back soon because there's so much to cover between now and July 31st. And coming up next on this show, I'm so happy about this. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he's not just, of course, the league's all-time leading scorer. He is so often the NBA's conscience. He is going to join the show from his home in Los Angeles to discuss how the country's anger over the murder of George Floyd connects back to the protests he participated in the 60s and where we go from here. I promise you don't want to miss this.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
All black people have been waking up with a heavy heart. I wish America loved black people as much as they love black culture.
You can't tell me when that man had his knee on my brother's neck that that smirk on his face didn't say I'm protected.
And as a young person, you gotta listen to our perspective. Our voices need to be heard. I'm 23 years old, I don't know all the answers, but I feel how everybody else is feeling.
As a black man, raising black kids in America, we're scared as hell.
I got brothers, I got sisters, I got friends that are in the streets, that are out here. They're experiencing just discrimination day after day, dealing with the same bull.
We're acting like this is because we're fed up, we're tired of it, we can't take it anymore.
Everybody's upset, everybody's tired.
We demand justice.
I know this country is in a messed up place right now. I just think it's important that we all stick together and we stand up for what's right.
I can't breathe.
Being a celebrity, being an NBA player, don't exclude me from no conversation.
Welcome back to The Jump. I am honored to welcome back to the show the legend, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Kareem, thank you so much for being with us at such a critical time.
Hi, Rachel. How are you?
I'm watching what's going on, Kareem. And as someone who took a leadership role alongside athletes like Jim Brown, Muhammad Ali, Bill Russell in fighting against racism and injustice in the 60s, I was so eager to talk to you and find out how you see this moment in American history.
Well, you know, the problem is I've seen it so many times before. I can go back to when I was in high school, 1964, a young man named James Powell was killed by a police officer named Thomas Gilligan. And Harlem erupted into a riot. I just happened to be there. And it was a terrifying thing. And to see it happening again is really disappointing. Colin Kaepernick demonstrated against this exact issue. And what did he get? He got blackballed, he got fired, and he was ostracized. And that was a peaceful protest. I guess the city of Minneapolis could have done a great job if they had signed him up to be a quarterback and fired a few of their cops before things got to be so ugly.
It is hard for athletes to hear, well, we're okay if you protest, if you do it peacefully. This isn't the way. We want you to do it some other way. But they did watch Colin Kaepernick and what happened to them. And they feel like, I've heard plenty of players say to me, well, they don't like the other way either.
They don't want the subject brought up at all. As far as they're concerned, everything is fine. And we can't continue with that dynamic. Too many people have lost their lives, and it's just a downward force on everything that we're trying to do in our country.
You wrote a beautiful op-ed piece for the LA Times that ran over the weekend, and this line stuck out so much. You said, quote, "Racism in America is like dust in the air. It seems invisible, even if you're choking on it, until you let the sun in. Then you see it's everywhere. As long as we keep shining that light, we have a chance of cleaning it wherever it lands. But we have to stay vigilant because it's always still in the air." The light does seem to be shining right now, Kareem. How do we make sure that continues?
Well, the way we make sure it continues is to speak about it. People need to make friends with people who don't look like them. You know, that'll go a long way into eliminating all of this. And that's because we're all Americans, you know, and we're all raised here and raised on certain values that are the best of any nation in the world. And, you know, we got to live up to that.
Absolutely. We've seen NBA players on the front lines of the peaceful protests trying to enact change. And these players do have more public support and corporate support, right, from their sponsors than you did in your era. But there's still certainly a segment of the population telling them to shut up and dribble. Right. Why do you think it is important for these athletes to push against that and lend their voices here?
I think these athletes are, what they have to say is important because they are the ones that the kids in their neighborhoods, the kids from their hometowns, they look up to them. And they get inspiration from them, and they find out about things through them. So, you know, these people are icons in their communities, and they make a difference. And when kids see that, you know, their heroes are concerned about civil rights and human rights and, you know, just what's going on in the country, they get it. And it's important.
So important. Kareem, you lived through 1968, a year that felt like a turning point in a lot of ways. Do you think 2020 is going to eventually be seen as a turning point?
It already has been a turning point, given what has happened with the coronavirus and, you know, all this racial violence that we've become aware of. You know, we have an opportunity now that everybody has, you know, it's got everybody's attention. We can do something now. You know, we got everybody concerned and aware that certain things aren't right. We can do something now. We can find a way to hold bad cops accountable. We can find a way to make sure that everybody gets heard, everybody gets the opportunity to vote and have their voice heard politically. This is a good thing for our country. It's not a bad thing, and I hope people get to understand that and support it.
Well, as someone who has always revered your generation and what you guys accomplished, I will certainly say to my generation, this is our moment. I hope we can live up to it. And Kareem, before I let you go, I do want to talk about one of the projects you're working on, because you know that some of my favorite photos in existence are the pictures of you and Bruce Lee working out together. Okay. You participating in the 30 for 30 documentary, Be Water. What did all of that bring back up for you, and what are you excited for people to see?
Well, I'm really happy that they'll get a chance to see what Bruce was like actually. You know, he was a funny guy. He was a practical joker. He had been a childhood actor. So, acting was not any stretch for him. He had done it. He'd been in front of the cameras before. And he had just a very positive attitude. You know, he did not teach only people of his race. He taught everybody. He learned from everybody. And he showed how these things are universal. You know, your need to defend yourself, it's not Chinese or American or anything. It's martial arts. So he was a great human being and brought the martial arts into a lot of homes that would never have thought about it.
I'm so excited to see it. And I'd also be remiss if I didn't let everyone else out there know that you can have Kareem in your home, in your life yourself. It's not just us that are so lucky. Kareem, you're working with a company called Iconogram, and you're doing some videos from them that will let you give people good greetings, pop into people's Zoom conferences. I know what a big deal that is right now. I know that every time I get a little bit of you, it is the thrill of my year. So I'm sure everybody else feels the same way too. Thank you so much for joining us today, Kareem, and really speaking out on so many important issues. It really matters. Thank you.
Great talking with you, Rachel. And you take care of yourself. Stay well, stay healthy.
Thank you so much.
The Jump is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone.
Saturday, UFC 250 is live from Las Vegas. Amanda Nunes, the AUFC's top pound-for-pound female fighter, defending her featherweight belt for the first time. To order the main card in English or Spanish, you can go to ESPNplus.com/PPV. The prelims start at 6 on ESPN and ESPN Deportes. And coming up next, it's 20 minutes of Jalen and Jacoby, highly questionable and around the horn. A two-hour Sports Center is at 5 with the PTI guys joining at 5:30. And we cap the day with Sports Center with SVP. All right, let's get to LeBron James, because he had some strong words responding to Drew Brees yesterday when asked about Colin Kaepernick's peaceful protest of kneeling during the national anthem. Brees initially reiterated his stance on how he will, quote, never agree with anyone disrespecting the flag of the United States of America. This was during an interview with Yahoo Finance. They were Brees' first comments since George Floyd's death last week. LeBron James responded to that via Twitter. He said, "Wow, man, is it still surprising at this point? Sure isn't. You literally still don't understand why Cap was kneeling on one knee. It had nothing to do with disrespect of the flag of the United States and our soldiers, men and women," good point, LeBron, "who keep our land free. My father-in-law," he said, "was one of those men who fought as well for this country. I asked him a question about it and thank him all the time for his commitment. He never found Cap's peaceful protest offensive, because he and I both know what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. God bless you." Now, of course, Brees issued an apology this morning, which read in part, quote, "I would like to apologize to my friends, teammates, the city of New Orleans, the black community, NFL community, and anyone I hurt with my comments yesterday. In speaking with some of you, it breaks my heart to know the pain I have caused. I made comments that were insensitive, completely missed the mark on the issues we are facing right now as a country." So, Stephen A., what is your reaction to this domino and conversation among some of the biggest athletes we have, LeBron James and Drew Brees?
Well, first of all, one of the things that I want to say is that LeBron James once again showed incredible class in undressing Drew Brees, because he addressed him in a very, very classy manner, but made sure his point was salient and to the point. We all know that Drew Brees, this is not his finest day. He was incredibly tone deaf, lacking significant empathy, and that's really, really unfortunate. The flip side to this is that we all win from the standpoint that it's still continues to open up a conversation that needed to be had. Obviously, it highlights the need to address a lot of things in a lawful fashion in terms of laws that need to be implemented in our country. Like, for example, I've been on the air, Rachel and Jay and RJ, basically saying that I want police brutality against unarmed black men to be designated as a federal hate crime. I think that should happen. And so the kind of conversations that are taking place right now, because people are really putting their ignorance on display, is something that can end up being incredibly beneficial to us all, because the African American community has been speaking about this for quite some time, and we have not had the listening ears that we've needed to have on this matter. And I think all of that is in the process of significantly changing.
Yeah, Stephen A., you're right. And I think, like you said, there are things to take from this. And I think the one positive thing that we can take from this is we can see how an individual like Drew Brees, who is one of the most respected men in all of sports, one of the most respected men in the city of New Orleans, and what he's meant to that town and what he's meant to that community, really just not fully understand the point. And I think that's where Cap's message was lost multiple times, is because people didn't fully understand, and it was always twisted and it was turned. So I think when you have a guy like Drew Brees step up and say what he said, it was from a place of just not understanding the true point. He is right. He should be emotional about what his grandfathers did and how they fought in World War II. But also, he needs to respect the people that fought next to his grandfather that were of African-American descent or from other cultures and helped save, you know, America. And then when you go forward, they came back to this country and didn't have the same rights, didn't have the same opportunities. So that's the message that he just needed to hear and understand. No one's taking away his experience, but he has to respect other people's experience. So if Drew Brees helps us continue this conversation, continue the education of what's wrong with systemic racism in this country, then I think there's something positive. And then kudos to him for listening, understanding, and then stepping up and issuing an apology that he needs to be more educated. And the last thing I'll say is this. Drew Brees is the father of three boys, right? His impact on those three young men and helping them understand that, yes, there are multiple things that go on in this country, but his impact at home in raising three young men, that can further this and help improve this country. And I think that's an important thing that we need to understand.
Absolutely. He has a lovely daughter, too, now. And guys, I think you're right. It's so hard right now to feel like there's progress. It can be very hard to wake up every day and see what is going on and what has been going on. And the big progress we need to make is still to come. So I am just happy to see any little millimeter, right? And I do think it is a millimeter of progress that a few years ago when Cap was kneeling and somebody came out and said, hey, that's disrespecting the flag or the military, there wasn't enough of an echo response that they came back the next day and apologized. That just, we did not see that happen. So the fact that now we see the progress of when someone comes out and says that and confuses the issue and doesn't understand what is being protested and discussed here, and there is enough of a response and enough of their teammates and enough people around them grab them by the lapels and say, no, I need you to listen, and it's effective, and he comes out the next day and says, I've heard it, I've changed my mind. That's just not something we saw 4 years ago. So I'm going to take the millimeter when I can get it, and I still want the whole foot, I want the whole yard, I want the whole mile, I still want to keep going. All right, let's switch back to the NBA, because Woj reporting that the Blazers were the one team that voted against the 22-team format that got approved today in the Board of Governors. They just felt there were better options on the table. They said their players had a voice in this. Are they right, Richard?
Well, I don't know what those other options are, right? We heard Stephen A. go off on all of the extra incentives for teams with home court. I can't
imagine
the amount of
plans that were out there. They were talking about getting more of a chance to play into the final playoff spot.
Well, I'm just saying that there were so many things thrown up against the wall, and there are still more questions to how this thing is going to go down. So am I surprised that one team was like, well, of all the options we saw, we don't feel like this is the best. I think the Blazers knew for a fact that this was going to get through. I think this vote of no was more of like a symbolic one. Not that they weren't trying to play or not be a part of it. They just wanted to say that, hey, we believe that there were better plans out.
How about this answer, Rachel and Richard? Who cares what they think? They're 29-37 when the season was suspended. They're 8 games under .500. They're lucky to be participating in this format that gives them an opportunity to get into the postseason. Love Dame, love CJ, but and like my man Melo, of course. But you're lucky you're even getting to play. I'm sorry. I don't care if they were putting a Motel 6. I really don't care. I don't want to hear anything. It doesn't matter to me. And please, please, they're lucky they're playing. I don't care what they wanted. It doesn't matter.
Steven, thank you so much for joining us today. Real quick,
y'all.
Tom Thibodeau, yes
y'all
or no? Woj reports he's the front runner for the Knicks coaching job.
I'm good with
get
Thibodeau.
More from you on that
Jackson,
in the coming weeks. Love it. All right. Thank you so much, Steven. Thanks, everybody. The Jump is back tomorrow.